The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
And my lips and my heart. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you are to eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why anxious about your clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was arrayed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field that grows today and is tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not so much more provide for you, but you have little faith? So don't worry and say, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be gathered to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. No one can serve two masters. This principle, very clear to Jesus. We can only have one God in our life. We can only have one supreme aspiration, one real goal above every other goal. One real love over every other love. That's very well known to tyrants. Today's first reading, we see one such tyrant, King Joash. Joash came to the throne with great hope. But what happened? The princes of Judah came. The princes of Judah paid homage to him. They flattered him. And then they tried to persuade him to forsake the Lord, the God of his fathers, the God whom his father had served as king. And they wanted him to lead the Jewish people in the worship of Asherah. Asherah was a sex god. That's the sacred poles and the idols they wanted him to establish right next to the temple. And he did it. They were worshiping sex. And what happened? The perversions that came as a result of that started to disintegrate the empire. Then prophets come, but they ignore the prophets. Finally, Zechariah comes. Zechariah was the son of King Joash's most loyal servant, who had previously died. He came as a prophet, but there was no even loyalty there, because King Joash and the princes of Judah around him didn't want to hear this call to conversion, this call to serve the one true Lord. What did they do? They stoned him to death by the king's very order in the court of the Lord's temple. They shed his blood all over the temple area by the direct order of the king. How much things had fallen. But King Joash well knew that they were either going to serve him and what he wanted to do, or they were going to serve God. And King Joash wasn't going to tolerate that there was going to be somebody more important, some higher principle. It's the same way with every tyrant. We see it with the Nazis. We see it with the communists. Tomorrow, it'll be the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, so we won't celebrate as we do every year on June 22nd, the memorial of Saints Thomas More and John Fisher. the two great heroes in England in the 1530s who refused to take an oath, to swear publicly, taking God as their witness, that King Henry's second marriage to Anne Boleyn while Catherine of Aragon was still alive, which the Pope refused to annul because there were no grounds for annulment, that second marriage was valid, and therefore that whoever was born of Anne Boleyn would be the successor to the throne in England. They refused to do it. King Henry couldn't take it, and so they were both murdered. Tyrants always hate even the sense of conscience, that we're able to listen to God on the inside and obey Him beyond the dictates of the so-called law that they manipulate, or even a democratic majority thrusts on minorities. This is the frame today for our beginning our fortnight for freedom. Our freedom is at risk here in the United States. And as Cardinal Dolan said before he ceased to be the president of the U.S. bishops, what we're experiencing here in the United States is a small part of the lack of religious freedom in the virulent anti-Christian persecution that some of our brothers and sisters are experiencing around the world. We all need to wake up to this reality that there are tyrants who just absolutely don't want us to be free to obey the Lord. This year, which is the third annual two-week period of prayer, there's a specific motto, the freedom to serve. Because here in our own country, our freedom to serve others by our faith is very, very much at risk. We've been talking over the last 2 years of the consequences of President Obama's Affordable Care Act. One of the things about that Affordable Care Act, in many instances, is it strips us of our ability to follow our conscience, especially with regard to the murder of innocent people, unborn, by manipulative ways with the hands or even by chemicals. Nurses, doctors, they have to perform if they're going to maintain their license in a lot of places. All citizens, including priests and nuns, very faithful Catholics, NFP users, have got to pay for others to have free access to contraception, abortion-causing pills, and sterilizations. It's not that they won't have access to it, it's just that everybody else has got to have their noses rubbed in this type of filth, this type of evil. No conscientious objection allowed. And what President Obama has been trial ballooning, and we need to name names, and it's not partisan to name names. If a Republican was doing this, I'd be preaching against him too. President Obama has trial ballooned that he wants, by executive order, he ceases to obey the Constitution and do it by the bill. He's using executive orders everywhere. And one of the executive orders that he wants to implement is saying that any federal contract whatsoever, if any recipient is going to receive that, that they need not to discriminate, according to the euphemistic language, on the basis of sexual orientation or on the basis of gender. What does that mean? That if any religious organization whatsoever is going to receive one penny from federal dollars, if we're going to have a whole bunch of out-of-the-closet flamboyant transvestites apply for a job, that we can't discriminate there, even if they're going to be serving kids. If we're going to be receiving anything in a food lunch program, we can't follow church teaching with regard to sexuality. Catholic Charities here, Catholic Social Services, in the Diocese of Fall River, about 80% of its budget comes from the federal government. Why? Because when we're doing housing programs for the poor, for example, we just do it better than government agencies. And so we've set this on up. We're going to renovate these buildings. We're able to get money in order to be able to do that so that people aren't out on the streets. with so many of the programs, they've recognized that we're really good at loving our neighbor and caring for it, and that's a real social need, so we go into cooperation, collaboration with the government. But if this executive order is decreed by the president and he's trial ballooned, it seems very clear that this is what he wants to do. Four U.S. archbishops, the four heads of four different committees for the U.S. bishops, just put out a letter 2 days ago to try to alert Catholics to what is being trial ballooned behind the scenes. Almost all of that capacity to serve people according to our conscience, to care for the homeless, for example, is going to go out the door, because we're going to hold to the truth that those who are living totally contrary to God's law aren't going to be employed the same way that we're going to employ people who are living the Catholic faith, who are going to be representing the Catholic Church as we do any of this type of charity. I could multiply the examples, but it's trying to suffocate our capacity for conscience. We need to be ready for that. Pope Francis yesterday spoke in the Vatican to an international congress on religious liberty, and his words are very strong. So many in the media are basically saying that Pope Francis says, just let everything go, who am I to judge, I don't care. Wrong, they're totally taking him out of context. But listen to Pope Francis. The debate about religious liberty has become very intense. Reason recognizes in religious liberty a fundamental right of man that reflects his lofty dignity, that of being able to seek the truth and adhere to it. And it recognizes in it an indispensable condition to be able to display all his potential. Religious liberty is not only that of thought or private worship. That's what the Obama administration has been trying to do for a long time. We're not going to stop your ability to go to church on Sunday, or to the synagogue on Saturday, or to the mosque on Friday. We're not going to stop that. But don't you dare think that you can live by your faith out there and not pay for women to have abortions. That's not freedom of religion. Freedom of religion is just, we're not going to tell you which God to pray for, but we will tell you which God you're going to serve as your master. Religious liberty is not only that of thought or private worship. It's the freedom to live according to ethical principles consequent upon the truth found, be it privately or publicly. This is a great challenge in the globalized world, where weak thought, in Italian it's called pensiero debole, basically means moral relativism and all of the thoughts that are around it, that there are no absolutes, that we can't really know anything for sure, including moral truths. Weak thought, which is a sickness, Pope Francis says, also lowers the general ethical level, and in the name of a false concept of tolerance, ends up by persecuting those who defend the truth about man and the ethical consequences. We're seeing this, right? Let's be tolerant to everybody, no matter what lifestyle, but once certain laws have been changed, those who had been clamoring for tolerance are absolutely intolerant about anybody who gets in their way. So we no longer have the freedom to teach the truth, for example, about sexuality, because that's considered hate speech, because those in the LGBT movement think it's hate speech. And the Mozilla CEO was fired because 8 years ago he gave $1,000 to defend marriage as an institution between one man and one woman. Total intolerance to that. Shouldn't even be a CEO with all his other talents because he believes in marriage as God instituted. Total intolerance from those who had been proclaiming tolerance. Therefore, Pope Francis says, the juridical, state, and international regulations are called to recognize, guarantee, and protect religious liberty, which is intrinsically inherent right to human nature, to its dignity of being free, and is also an indicator of a healthy democracy and one of the principal sources of the legitimacy of the state. Why is it so essential for a healthy democracy? It's so important for those who serve in public office to recognize they are not the arbiters of the truth, but that there's a truth above them, that there's a law above them. Because if they don't recognize that law, then oftentimes they'll use their office to force others according to their own will. Because there's no set of external principles that everybody needs to follow. Something, of course, that the Declaration of Independence talked about, that there is a creator and that there are inalienable rights that come from him that can't be violated no matter what the polity. It's incomprehensible and worrying that up to today, Pope Francis said, discriminations and restrictions of rights remain by the sole fact of belonging and professing publicly a determined faith. You think about Christians in all these Muslim countries who have to go to embassies, like in Saudi Arabia, for example, in order to have mass. Because even though we allow Muslims to build churches, they won't allow us to build churches. We can think about this woman who just gave birth in a Sudanese prison because they think she was Muslim. Her mom was a Catholic, her dad was never in the picture. But because the dad was Muslim, she's by law, according to the Khartoum government, a Muslim. And because she married a Catholic, because she was raised a Catholic and fell in love with a Catholic, they consider that apostasy, even though she's not once ever practiced the Muslim faith. And so they sentence her to death. Death! But because she's nursing her baby, her life will be spared in prison until the child is weaned. But after that, despite all types of international pressure from Amnesty International and a lot of human rights groups, she's still in jail. And she's still on death row. Have you heard about it? Probably not. Because our media is obsessed that June is Pride Month. And so let's show all these parades everywhere in these rainbows. But there's a woman, a mother, who's never once practiced Islam in her life, who's being sentenced to death because her dad was Muslim, she was raised Catholic, she married a Catholic, and that is considered a crime punishable by death. Remain by the sole fact, Pope Francis says, of belonging and publicly professing a determined faith. It's unacceptable that, in fact, real and proper persecution subsist for reason of religious membership. This wounds reason, attempts against peace, and humiliates man's dignity. It's for me a great sorrow, he says, to see that Christians in the world endure the greatest number of such discriminations. It's the last acceptable prejudice to go against Christians. And the media isn't really focusing on it, because the media, in many cases, is participating in it. The persecution against Christians, listen to this, is in fact stronger today than in the first centuries of the church. And there are more Christian martyrs now than at that time. Absolutely true. This is happening more than 1,700 years after the Edict of Constantine, which granted freedom to Christians to profess their faith publicly. That happened in 312. 1,702 years later, we're still battling so that Christians aren't going to be sentenced to death, or that Christians aren't going to lose their livelihood if they're a doctor or nurse, so that Christians aren't going to have their hard-earned money ripped off to pay for others' evil, and so many other things. The U.S. bishops want us to focus this year on the freedom to serve. The greatest witness that we have about that is not just talking about it, but it by actually serving, showing all the good we do, and insisting upon our right to continue to do that as the vise is tightening. During this Fortnight for Freedom, we're called to pray. Thank you for coming this morning to start off with prayer. We're also called to fast because certain demons are expunged only by prayer and fasting. And we can see whether we really want something by what we're able to give up for it. So I'd invite you to join me in fasting for this cause. And then third, we ultimately need to take our citizenship seriously and live by our faith in the public square. In a democracy, we ultimately get the leaders we deserve. And the reason why this is happening is because so many of us Catholics, frankly, have voted into office people who are leading the charge to restrict religious freedom to freedom of worship and then take it away altogether. Got to wake up. We need to serve God first. To always be great citizens of our land, but to always serve God first. And we will become the greatest citizens the more we serve God. The more we're able to flavor our culture with the salt, light, and leaven that flows from that relationship. Today, once again, we've got leaders who are trying to push the worship of Asherah. All of these persecutions against religious freedom are ultimately flowing from the sexual revolution. Two things. The validation of same-sex sexual relations as basically the standard for all sexual relations. No meaning to it except what the participants say. No relationship to children. Nothing. Against the church's teaching that there's tremendous meaning and beauty, that there is a purpose to it, and the only real expression of it that's moral is within a totally committed marriage relationship open to children. It starts from the worship of the sexual revolution and what it ultimately leads to, murder. Because sins against the sixth commandment always lead to sins against the fifth. And that's why abortion flows from this type of sexual license. We have that God being worshipped again, and we're all called to be sent out as prophets. Hopefully to bring people back to the truth, but a willingness really to suffer in proclaiming it. Today at the second half of the gospel, Jesus says, don't worry about what you eat, drink, wear, or where you sleep. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need it. God the Father guarantees those four things. He doesn't guarantee that we're going to have big houses. He doesn't guarantee that we're going to have filet mignon and lobster every day of our life. Or cognac. Or real bottles of 18th century French vintage wine. We may have to suffer for our faith. We may, like Zechariah or Thomas More or St. John the Baptist or Jesus Christ, die for our faith. But not a single hair on our head will be touched if we serve God first, that even our death will be just a change of address. And it might be that the greatest way we bring our culture back is by our willingness to die for the truth that Jesus did. So that's why we come here to begin this fortnight in prayer, so that God might strengthen us by His holy word and toughen us up by His body, blood, soul, and divinity that we're about to receive, so that we might seek first His kingdom. Help others to seek that kingdom first too, so that with Thomas and John the Baptist and Aloysius Gonzaga and John Fisher and all the American saints, we might rejoice in that kingdom forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.